You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Wednesday, the 4th of December. And on Wednesday, we're going to have action to bring you in the afternoon from Lingfield, from Ludlow and from Haydock. And in the afternoon, we've got eight races on the all-weather from Kempton, including the listed Wildflower Stakes. So lots to look forward to on Wednesday. You can join us on Racing Radio from midday for coverage of all the day's action. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby. Craig Forsyth is alongside me. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, all good, John. I hope that wasn't you trying to make me feel a little guilty there by saying there was a listed race on the flat and I've got two jumps races to preview.
I know you better than to think that now, when we are basically at the height of the jump season, that you'd be going anywhere near an all-weather card for a Napa or an Express selection. So I wasn't getting my hopes up, don't worry.
That's good, John.
And it really is great stuff we've got coming up this week, and we're looking ahead to a couple of the big races in a few moments' time. And of course, the Grade 1 Tingle Creek is one of the highlights. Before we get stuck into previewing some of the weekend's action, I just want to pick up on an interesting bit of news that the Racing Post were reporting yesterday evening as we record this on Tuesday, Craig, and that's that Nicky Henderson has suggested that Altior, well, the options could still be open for him in terms of the distance that he races over, but depending on how the Tingle Creek goes on Saturday, it's very much on the cards that he could step back down to 2 miles and could go for another champion chase at the Cheltenham Festival in March. First of all, what are your views on that as a way of dictating, you know, how to campaign a horse? But also, I guess more to the point, what trip do you think Altior should be racing over?
There's a couple of good questions there, John, for sure. I think the first one is a little bit surprising, that the fact that someone like Nicky Henderson is waiting on the outcome of the Tingle Creek on Saturday to make that decision. Right now, you know, if they wanted to go back to 2 miles for the champion chase route, I don't see why you would wait on the Tingle Creek, because I think Altior will still be a better horse than, you know, anything that's running in the Tingle Creek. He beat Politolog in last year's champion chase. I honestly don't see Defi Du Sel reaching those heights, to be honest, this season.
Do you think he's a 2-miler, Defi Du Sel?
I do think he's a 2-miler, yeah. He always looks like he hits a little bit of a flat spot. He looks like he has to work hard to get there. But every time he's hit the front, he's almost pulled himself up. He's won causally, as he did in the Schlor chase at Cheltenham. So, you know, Altior, for me, if he wanted to go down that route, would still be the horse to beat regardless of this weekend's Tingle Creek. The second part of that question is, you know, what trip do I think he's probably best at? Well, you know, I don't think Surname's getting the credit he probably deserves for beating Altior the last day, John. And he was a hard horse to pass. When he gets into that rhythm on the front end, I think Altior probably needs to improve his jumping a little bit. But one thing he did do was run strongly to the line. Mm. And he left the impression that he could improve again going up to 3 miles. I don't see, on the back of one defeat, why they would want to change the plans they made pre-season and alter going to Kempton on Boxing Day for the King George. I think he deserves that chance,
yeah,
to go to Kempton before I would make a decision on what route to take.
I suppose, as you say, it's a bit strange to make that decision off the back of any one race, first time up in the season, but also up against a rival who did have some doubters going into that previous race at Ascot, but who has now very much cemented his place as one of the best, if not the best chaser in the country.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely so. And I'm surprised that one race has got the Henderson camp thinking about what to do in terms of campaigning him over what distance for the rest of the season. And I think, you know, obviously he's dominated the 2 mile scene for a couple of years now, and his novice season and last year he was absolutely fantastic. I think he deserves the chance in the King George on Boxing Day to you know, to finally decide what is going to be his best distance for the rest of the campaign.
So Henderson hinting that Altior could step back down in trip to 2 miles. He's 3-1 for the Queen Mother Champion Chase at the Cheltenham Festival with us here at William Hill, if you fancy that. But that leads us nicely on to the big race itself at Sandown on Saturday, Craig, the Tingle Creek. Defi de Soil, the aforementioned favourite, is 11-8. 4-1 for Politolog, Under So, 4-1. 11-2, So Royale. Janica is 7-1. 10-1, Waiting Patiently. Dodos is 16s. Nonua, 33-1. These prices at time of recording, and of course, before we've had the final field confirmed. What are your views on this year's Tingle Creek?
Good race, as the first views. I think really looking forward to it. Defi de Soil, I think, is a little short at 11-8 at this present time. He was a very good novice last year. You know, he was brought back to form looking a horse that had completely lost his way. Mm. So I think Philip Hobbs deserves an enormous amount of credit for bringing him back. The first signs last year was at Exeter when he beat Top of the Game, which ended up really strong form. He was then second to Lost in Translation. He turned that form around in Scilly Isles at Sandown, so he's proved that, you know, this course holds no barriers in terms of his jumping. And he looked as good as ever on his return in the Grade 2 Slow Chase at Cheltenham. Again, it's just a similar running style every time. You know, he has to work hard to pick up the leaders in these races, as Barry was after him at Cheltenham. But once he hit the front and came alongside Politolog, he ran out a fairly comfortable winner. There's a £3 turnaround at the weights in favour of Politolog on Saturday. But the main difference for me, why I think Politolog can reverse the form, is going right-handed. He's 7 from 9 on right-handed courses. 7 out of 7 he was until he ran in the King George last year, and then he met with defeat in the Ascot Chase. 2 Grade 1s, and I think on a track like Sandown, this can bring out the best of Politolog, and I think he can certainly reverse the form with Defi de Soil from 20 days ago.
And on a similar note, he's obviously never won at Cheltenham, sort of even beyond configuration of tracks and things like that. I know he's run well in the Champion Chase a little bit earlier on in the year, but he's never won at that track, and at Sandown he has shown some of his best form.
Absolutely. And 11-8, 4-1, you know, that there's a huge difference in price for, you know, 1.25 lengths between them at Cheltenham, a track he's never excelled at, and he's £3 better off as well at the weights. So I think that, you know, there is a little bit of value there. Underso, who was second in the race last year to Altior, 4-1, 11-year-old, probably be surprised if, you know, one of the younger horses didn't improve past where he is now.
Haven't we been saying that for a couple of years?
We have, and we have.
It's never quite happened yet.
Absolutely. You know, he just keeps bringing his A game to the table, and he's an absolute credit to Connections. We've got the Holding Gold Cup winner, Janika, who looked a nearly horse for the majority of last season, finishing second in some of the big handicaps, and the drop back and trip looked to certainly suit at Exeter on his return. He gets a chance to prove himself. And probably the most interesting runner in the whole field has to be Waiting Patiently, who did drop back and trip, which I think is sure to suit. He didn't hit the same levels last year as he had the previous year when he first burst onto the scene. The ground will be absolutely fine. Brian Hughes booked. You know, he's an interesting player. But at these prices, you know, we're getting into the good winter chases now, and this is where your likes of Nichols and what have you excel. And I think Politolog at this stage, certainly, John, looks the value at 4-1.
Okay, well, the other big race, and I guess bigger from a betting perspective, you know, the Tingle Creek almost always turns out to be a very small field nowadays, is certainly the Beecher Chase at Aintree. This, well, it'd be a big surprise if this turned out to be a small field. We have got some prices at time of recording as well for what is still a provisional field. Marquise Hill, the 7-1 favourite. 9-1 for Arthur. Vintage Clouds, 9-1. Walk in the Mill, also 9-1. 10-1 for Villion Rouge. As de May is 12-1. Also 12 for Bally Optic. 14-1 and bigger for the rest. And Craig, here we've got some of the names that we've really come to know and love in the sort of handicap staying chase division over the past few years.
Yeah, John, I think experience of these fences plays a big part in this race. When you look back through previous winners of this race, you know, they've all had previous experience of the entry fences, Walk in the Mill, a Black Lion, Vélion Rouge, who runs again, Highland Lodge, Oscar Time, Hello Bud, who won twice, West End Rocker, who fell in the National before coming back to win a Beecher Chase. So certainly that plays a part, and obviously people will look to the likes of Walk in the Mill, who won it last year, Vélion Rouge, who won it in 2017, One for Arthur, a previous Grand National winner who ran so well to finish sixth in the 2019 renewal. They're the horses with the previous experience over these fences. The favourite was impressive, Mulcaze Hill at Cheltenham, when he ground down Holston on that occasion. He looked a real stare, but he's an inexperienced horse for this type of test. Mm. And I think that inexperience off a £7 higher mark running off 1.44 could certainly count against them in a race like this.
So you're not keen on the favourite then, and you've said you want to go towards one with previous experience of the fences, potentially. Who is catching your eye
well,
at this stage?
Well, I said it's a huge positive for sure, experience of the fences. I think One for Arthur, in terms of a handicap mark, looks well treated nowadays off a 1.49. His last run at Kelso, which you would imagine would be a prep for this, he didn't jump anywhere near as well. And after he won his National, you know, he unseated his rider on his next couple of starts after a break. And his jumping has suffered. You know, he hasn't jumped anywhere near as well, but we know he handles these fences as well. And the engine still looked to be intact at Kelso. You know, from being virtually tailed off down the back, he ran on extremely well to finish fourth. Vintage Clouds, who is a horse renowned for going well fresh in the past, it was disappointing to see him finish fifth in that said contest, but the Sue Smith horses were badly out of form at that time. He fell at the first in last year's Grand National, many people's fancy. Walk in the Mill, a winner of this race last year. But I'm going to take to a horse here, John, that hasn't got any experience of these fences, but the way he jumped, particularly round Wincanton the last day, he should certainly have no problem, and that's Wandering Star. Very much been a horse that you know has been looking for this type of test in the past. You could say he was a slightly fortunate winner at Wincanton. White Moon was in charge at the last when he fell, but Wandering Star picked up really well to come from a little bit further back. And he's only gone up £4 for that. He is a huge big son of Flemingsworth, and he's jumping is his biggest asset. And in a race like this, obviously you will need to jump and travel, and he's a powerful stayer as well. You know, he really packs a punch at the business end. I think he's still well handicapped. He's got enough experience for an 8-year-old as well. He's a lovely racing weight at this stage anyway, 10 stone 6. I don't see too much of a rise in the weights. And I think he's a real interesting runner for Kim Bailey, although his overall track record in the last 5 years isn't great, the Kim Bailey. I think he's not from 12 at entry.
Though he did have the last Samurai finish second in the race, if memory
serves. He did, of course.
In the Grand National, I mean.
Yep, and you know, that's probably the closest he's got to a winner, and you know, I wouldn't look too much into that start. Very small sample size, and Wandering Star certainly looks up to the job in what looks another competitive and exciting Beecher Chase. And, you know, looking at the prices, John, 16-1 Wandering Star is in the market with William Hill at the moment. And I do think, you know, that it could end up being a bit of value. Obviously, come the day, there may be the advantage of having that extra place to play with, being one of the feature races on the day on Saturday. But he's the horse that certainly makes a lot of appeal at this stage, Wandering Star.
So that's the Beecher Chase on Saturday. Let's turn our attention now to something which is a little bit closer to home time-wise, and that is the racing we've got coming up on Wednesday. Greg, you've got two selections for us. I'm not expecting either of them to be at Kempton. Are they both at Haydock?
They're both at Haydock, John. Starting in the 155.
There we go. So we've got a novices chase coming up here, and a field of four runners declared. What do you fancy here?
Yeah, it's hard to rule out any of the four, really. Fiddox is... it seems like an age ago that you know, he was a juvenile hurdler. I think won a Catrick first time up, and then, you know, just seemed to struggle, particularly with his attitude and a finish. He never looked the strongest of finishers. And then last season, he won a couple of handicap hurdles. Then before the handicapper basically took charge, and I think the hand was forced this time around to go over fences with him, and he has taken to the fences really well. He won a novice chase at Hexham before following up at Stratford, and at Stratford he was made to battle for the win as well. He was challenged on both sides, found plenty for pressure, and, you know, mentally he's just a horse that's matured with age, and he's certainly on the upgrade. I think he'll certainly run well. Champagne Mystery is a very up-and-coming chaser. He ran off a mark of 129 in a novice handicap entry, and his jumping had the whole field in trouble from the first fence. He took a couple of lengths out his rivals at the first, and he kept powering clear, and he ended up a wide margin winner. He won that far. The handicapper, you know, put him up £15 to a mark of 144. This is a novice chaser, isn't a handicap, but he's certainly up to this class. And what is going to be interesting here is Dashiell Drasher is another free-going sort. These two horses are going to be at each other's throats from the off here. And Dashiell Drasher, who fell fairly early in a contest at the weekend, his jumping is going to come under pressure right from the off. And that could be his downfall. So Champagne Mystery obviously needs to be taken into consideration. But last and by no means least, and the selection for me would be Watmore. This is a horse who jumps really well. And he jumped to his left at Huntingdon when last seen, going on a right-handed track. Dehran Dukarjak, the Alan King runner, who was very impressive that day, he travelled all over Champ at Newbury on Friday. It was a real good run. Pim Wenton, who finished second in the Huntingdon contest, Wenton won a tough Ascot race on his next start. And that is very strong form. Watmore did well to end up third, clearly indicating he wants a return to a left-handed track. So of these four, it's definitely Watmore for Henry Daly and Tom O'Brien for me.
Okay, Watmore then in the 155. And what about the other pick?
Yeah, we're going to the introductory hurdle 20 or 30 minutes later. Another interesting race. The Conman makes his return after 367 days off. He was very impressive, beating Garrettstown when last seen at Carlisle on heavy ground. Ebony Jewel, who I think novice mistakes cost him on his hurdling debut air. That was a race run in a very quick time. He's a promising sort for the Alexanders. But the one I like here, Sunny Express, he ended up chasing too strong a pace at Carlisle the last day. They won a good gallop in the early stages there, and he ended up making his move at the bottom of the hill. Of course, the early meetings is on the hurdles track, much more testing, much more demanding. Made his move too soon, and he ended up being a sitting duck for Curramore, who was the result of a much more patient waiting ride, and was able to pick the pocket of Sunny Express. But I think he emerged as much the best that day. He should come on for the run as well. 23 days to recover. I think that was a real promising start after finishing third to December 2nd in a bumper and his only previous outing last year. So Sunny Express, I think, can build on the promise that we've seen from Carlisle.
Sunny Express in the 225 then. Two picks from Craig for Haydock on Wednesday. You can hear all the day's action on Racing Radio from midday. Join us then online or via the William Hill app. Craig, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.